Good morning and welcome to St. Mark's on this Palm Sunday. We begin Holy Week worship here at St. Mark's, and we look forward to following our Savior to the cross and then rejoicing with you on Easter morning, having seen our Savior secure our salvation. We'd like to welcome all of our worship guests this morning. It's nice to have you here. Many of you shared your children with us this morning for the processional and their song, so we thank you for the effort you put in into getting them here. And we appreciate all of our guests. I would be happy to visit with you more after the service if we have a chance to. At this time, I would invite you to open your service booklets to page 3. The service booklet this morning contains the entire service. We begin on page 3 with the processional. I invite you to stand and face the back of church for the processional.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Dear friends in Christ, for 5 weeks of Lent, we have been preparing for the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery. Today we come together to begin the solemn celebration of Holy Week. Christ entered in triumph into his own city to complete his work as our Messiah, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Let us remember with devotion his entry that culminated at the empty tomb, and follow him with a lively faith. United with him by baptism, we share in his resurrection and new life. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thank you. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palm in his path, so may we always hail him our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Worship continues with the scripture lessons for this Palm Sunday, which begin on page 6 in the service booklet. The first lesson for today's service, written by the prophet Zechariah some 500 or more years before the time of Christ, predicts the events that we recall and commemorate this day. This lesson will also be the basis for today's sermon, a reading from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm for Palm Sunday is Psalm 24. The cantors will introduce the refrain, and then we will repeat the refrain. The congregation will also sing the refrain throughout the psalm, as well as the verses that are in bold print. Psalm 24.
Sing Hosanna, loud Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord. Sing Hosanna, loud Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord.
The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it.
For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters.
Who may ascend the hill of the Lord?
Who may stand in his holy?
And a pure heart,
he will receive blessing from God his Savior.
Sing Hosanna,
Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord.
Lifted up, you ancient doors,
that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord High and Mighty, the Lord Mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors,
that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is he, this King of Glory?
Lord Almighty, he is the King of Glory.
Glory be to the Father.
Next 8 days, we will see and review the depths of Jesus' humility and the greatness of his resurrection exaltation. St. Paul summarizes Jesus' humiliation and exaltation in the words of today's second lesson, a reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death
on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
For the Son of Man to be glorified.
The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.
The hour has come for the Son of Man.
Stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 11.
Glory be to you, Lord.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" Then they went and found a colt in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
Lord
Christ.
Please be seated as we sing the hymn of the day, number 133 in the red hymnal.
Thank you.
any of you been watching the CNN special called Finding Jesus? Well, there goes that introduction. Actually, I'm kind of glad to know that you're not watching the CNN special Finding Jesus. About this time every year, it seems that some major media news outlet does some kind of special series of episodes on the Christian faith and the validity of Jesus' resurrection and the message of Scripture in general. Now, I suppose there's no such thing as bad press. I suppose it's good if a major media outlet wants to talk about the Christian faith come Lent and Easter time. That's probably a good thing. But I did, I haven't had the chance to watch the show, but I did go online last week and I watched some of the video clips, some of the sort of teaser video clips of the different episodes that have been aired to this point. And as I watched those video clips, I kind of thought to myself, this is a great example of a little bit of knowledge can be a dangerous thing. When you don't have the full picture and you only have a little slice of the data, you can come to some difficult conclusions, some incorrect conclusions. Now, I've only seen a few video clips, so take this all with a grain of salt. But as an example, one video clip suggested that we are just one discovery away, a discovery that hasn't been made in 2,000 years, by the way. We are one discovery away from finding a document that would completely overturn the Christian faith and the Christian message and the Christian scriptures. Funny how we haven't found that document yet, but that's the theory that's being proposed. We're just one discovery away. We've kind of come to expect that sort of thing just about every year this time of year. And it's kind of hard to watch because, as I said before, it's the case of a little bit of knowledge being a dangerous thing. In my Sunday Bible class this morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about this kind of an issue, helping us to become better at understanding the facts of Jesus' resurrection and our ability to defend the facts of his resurrection in our world today. We're also going to do a little bit of that in our sermon next Sunday, on Easter Sunday. In today's sermon, we're also going to set the record straight about Jesus, but in a different sort of way. It's important to set the record straight about the facts of Holy Week and Easter. But as I said, we'll do that a little bit in today's Bible class. We'll do that a little bit in next Sunday's Easter sermon as well. But on this Palm Sunday, we also know that it's important to set the facts straight about the significance and the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection. And that's what our goal is going to be in this sermon this morning. A Palm Sunday prediction in the Old Testament book of Zechariah will help us to do that on this first day of Holy Week. Zechariah, this start of Holy Week, will help us to set the record straight about Jesus. As we look at the first lesson for today, he will help us to set the record straight about the kind of king Jesus is and about the kind of peace Jesus brings. Zechariah was an Old Testament prophet who preached among God's people in the years after they left from being deported to a foreign land, the land of Babylon. They came back to their homeland during the late 6th century B.C. And after the people of God returned to their homeland, Zechariah was one of God's prophets to them, and he had a message to repeat to them. One part of his message was to remind them not to backslide into the sins of their forefathers, which led them to be deported in the first place. But another of Zechariah's messages was to simply encourage them with God's promises that he would be with them as they reestablished their homes and lives in their homeland. That's the gist, that's the Reader's Digest version of what happened in the first 8 chapters of Zechariah's book. But now this morning we find ourselves in chapter 9, the second major section of Zechariah's book. And here Zechariah moves from talking about their present to talking about their future, and to a degree, our future as well. He describes a time when God would enter into this world and rescue his people from their enemies. And in the midst of this description of God's future entrance, Zechariah gives us a little preview of the events that we are celebrating today, this Palm Sunday. Verse 9 of our reading begins, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." It's not too hard to see why this particular reading was chosen for Palm Sunday. Zechariah, through the Holy Spirit's assistance and guidance, is able to peer over 500 years into the future, and he sees the Palm Sunday entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem. We should take a very careful look at the description of the kind of king that Jesus is as he enters into Jerusalem for the battle that would ultimately win our salvation. First, he is called righteous, and that term is no surprise to us. We know that Jesus is righteous or holy or perfect. We needed our Savior to be righteous or holy to give us the righteousness we need before God, to be holy in our place before God, because that's the kind of Savior that imperfect and unrighteous people need. But the next couple of terms that Zechariah uses is kind of interesting. He says that Jesus comes having salvation. And my ears hear that, and your ears hear that, and you probably think, well, it means that Jesus is coming to bring us the salvation from sin that we need. That's true, of course. That's entirely true. It's what this whole week is about. But the specific phrasing in the original language that Zechariah uses doesn't quite emphasize that point, though it is true. It emphasizes the point that Jesus in some way needed to be saved, needed salvation. You might say, well, how does that make sense? Jesus is the one saving us. How does he need to be saved? But think of it this week. Think of it this way. This week, Jesus is going to go to the cross. He is going to submit to his Father's plan. He is going to submit to hell to rescue you and I from sin, to rescue you and me from sin. He is going to submit to death in order to conquer death for us. And when he submitted himself to death, he needed to be rescued from that state that he willingly allowed himself to endure. So God the Father raises his Son from the dead. In a sense, you could say God the Father gives his Son salvation from the death that he willingly endured. That is the sense in which Jesus needed to be saved this Holy Week. Not saving from sin, but he needed to be raised from death, and by God the Father's power, and of course by his own power as God, Jesus does just that. And then it goes on to say that Jesus is gentle. But again, here's another word that has a little bit different flavor in the original language of the Old Testament. The word gentle, used to describe Jesus, actually means that he is lowly or humble. He looks poor. He is even afflicted. And again, think about what's coming ahead this week. A betrayal, an arrest, two unjust trials that lead to an unjust sentence that results in an unjust crucifixion. The fact that Zechariah ends his description with Jesus riding in on a lowly donkey instead of a mighty Clydesdale, that's a drop in the bucket compared to all that Zechariah is telling us about when he says that Jesus comes having salvation and he comes in a gentle and humble and afflicted manner. This is the kind of king that comes to you on Palm Sunday. But truth be told, this is not the kind of picture of a conquering king that you and I would expect. Zechariah sets the record straight about the kind of king that Jesus is. Are we willing to let Zechariah set the record straight? If you are going to paint a picture of what Almighty God and the King of the universe looks like, is this the picture that you would paint? Is this the kind of God and king that draws your loyalty and attention? Someone has said, first God made us in his image, and ever since then we have been returning the compliment. It isn't easy to see Jesus as the kind of king that he reveals himself to be. It's not easy to see the kind of king that the Holy Spirit and Zechariah describe Jesus to be. Do we want a Jesus who looks so poor and lowly, who suffers on the cross for our sins? Or do we want a Jesus who doesn't suffer at all and who takes all our suffering away and who doesn't talk about sin or deal with it? Do we want a Jesus who takes us by the hand in his word and walks us through the problems of life? Or do we want a Jesus who doesn't talk about problems at all, who just takes them all away and just makes everything smooth and peachy keen and no problems at all? Do we want a Jesus who is as his word says he is? Or do we want a Jesus who will fit the popular conception of our world today? Could it be that CNN isn't the only one who has trouble recognizing who Jesus really is? Could it be that there's a part of us that really doesn't want to think about our need for Jesus to humbly come into Jerusalem and humbly walk the way of the cross, even though without the cross, our eternal future changes dramatically and for the worse? Sometimes a Bible teacher will use a modern-day illustration to help bring a spiritual point home, to help make a spiritual point a little more accessible and understandable. A couple of Sundays ago, we did this in my Sunday morning Bible class. A couple of Sundays ago, we were talking about the phrase in the Creed where we say that Jesus descended into hell. And when you hear that phrase at first glance, you think, well, Jesus must have gone down to hell to suffer. That's what that phrase was all about. He was suffering to win our forgiveness. He was suffering in our place. Now, that's true that Jesus did that on the cross. But that's actually not what that little phrase, he descended into hell, refers to. Think of it this way. Jesus goes to hell after he rises from the dead, but before he appears to his followers, he descends to hell to proclaim his victory in Satan's turf. And here's a modern illustration that might help you grasp the concept. Think of the last Super Bowl winner. Any Patriots fans here today? One. Okay, more than CNN fans, apparently. Think of the last Super Bowl winner. Think of the Patriots beating the Seahawks. And a couple days later, in the snow-clad streets of downtown Boston, there they are marching through, celebrating their victory. Imagine if instead of having their victory parade in Boston, in the snow-clad streets of Boston, imagine if that victory parade was in the rain-clad streets of downtown Seattle, rubbing it in a little bit, perhaps. Well, that's not a perfect illustration, but it does get the sense of what Jesus did when he descended into hell. He went to Satan's turf to proclaim his victory over his spiritual enemies and our spiritual enemies of Satan and sin and death. So not only is that an illustration that helps you to understand what that phrase means when we say it every Sunday, but it's simply an example of how a modern illustration can help us to grasp a spiritual concept. Jesus did this sort of thing all the time with the parables that he taught. Well, Zechariah does the same thing in verse 10 of our reading. He uses an illustration that would have made a lot of sense to his immediate audience that read these words in 500 plus BC. It might not be an illustration that resonates a lot with us today in our modern world, but it made a lot of sense to Zechariah's readers. Zechariah uses this illustration to describe the kind of peace that Jesus the Savior would bring. Look at verse 10. Zechariah says, and this is God speaking, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Hundreds of years before Zechariah's time, the kingdom of Israel, which was once one united kingdom, split into two nations. The northern kingdom kept the name Israel, and Ephraim was one of the tribes or regions, a very large region, in that northern kingdom. The southern kingdom had the capital city of Jerusalem inside its borders. And Zechariah uses the name of that city as a description for the whole southern kingdom. And he said that in Ephraim, in the north, and in Jerusalem, in the south, in these two nations that were split, all of the instruments of war would be gone. He is implying that once where there was disharmony, now there would be unity and peace once again. And then he goes on to describe the extent of the peace of Jesus' kingdom to say that the peace of Jesus' kingdom would extend even to the ends of the earth. Now remember, this is an illustration. We would miss Zechariah's point if we forgot that this is an illustration. Zechariah is not saying that Jesus was going to set up some kind of kingdom that would establish peace in this world the same way that people talk about world peace today. That would be nice, but given the headlines that we often see in the newspaper today, we realize that that is not what Jesus or Zechariah is talking about. Zechariah sets the record straight by talking about the kind of peace that Jesus would bring. And if we realize this is an illustration, then we realize that this is a picture of the spiritual peace, a lasting spiritual peace that extends to everyone around the world who is a part of Jesus' spiritual kingdom of faith. Peace is really lacking in our world today. You turn on the evening news and you see the stories of violence against Christians on the other side of the world who are fleeing for their lives. And even at home, it seems that our culture is really increasing its attacks against the traditional Christian faith and message. And sometimes even in your own home, it doesn't feel like there is peace there because the effects of sin or addiction or disharmony or something else are taking its toll on our homes. But Jesus didn't promise a kind of peace that's just for this world. It is true that Jesus can assist us as we deal with the disharmony and lack of peace in our lives today, but Jesus never promised us a problem-free, 100% peaceful existence on this side of heaven. But that doesn't mean that you need to leave worship today downcast or in despair. In fact, you have reason to rejoice in spite of and even through your earthly problems. That's because Jesus has promised you and given you a peace that has come from the fact that he has solved our biggest problem. Jesus gives you a real, lasting, substantial peace that comes from the victory that he won by suffering hell for us and defeating the grave for us. A victory that gives you lasting peace with God. Jesus gives you a peace that promises to sustain you and bless you through the challenges that he lovingly allows you to endure. And then he tops it off with that even greater promise of that great future day when sin and all of its problematic effects are gone forever in heaven's perfect peace. We could never achieve this peace by ourselves. And so God sent his Son to win that perfect peace for us on the cross, to assure us of peace and forgiveness, even for our failures to understand the kind of king Jesus is, and to guarantee for us a peace that surpasses time and that lasts forever, secured by his death and resurrection for us. This week has some of the most memorable and celebratory services, meaningful services of the Christian church calendar. There's a complete list of all our special services in the back of today's service booklet. It was sent to you if you're on our email list. It's printed in the weekly news update for this week. I know how busy life can get this time of year, but I hope that you won't look at these as sort of optional things if you've got a little extra time. I hope you'll view these things as great opportunities to just let the chaos of life take a time out for a while and to celebrate and bask in the joy and the mystery and the peace that Jesus accomplished for us and all of these special events that we will remember this very special Holy Week. But in order for these services to be more than just church rituals for Holy Week, in order for them to be more meaningful than just this thing that we do this time of year, we need to set the record straight about Jesus. And that's what Zechariah has done for us on this first day of Holy Week. Jesus might not be the kind of king that we would have envisioned, but he is the kind of king that God the Father envisioned before time began to be our perfect Savior and to make us his own people. Jesus may not bring the kind of peace that immediately solves all of our earthly problems, but he brings us the kind of peace that has already solved our greatest problem. This Holy Week, it is our honor and joy and privilege to just bask and marvel and wonder and ponder at this great celebration, this great mystery of our faith, that God became a human being. He became one of us so that we could be with him forever. And to know that without doubt or question, to know with certainty that everything that happened this week, everything Jesus did this week, he did for you. That's the kind of record that we will never tire to hear about. Amen. We return to the service booklet and confess our faith using the historic words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Our members' offerings will be gathered at this time. If you have not done so already, please fill out the worshiper card that you received as you came into church this morning. After the offerings of our members are gathered, the ushers will collect the cards via the side aisle. Thank you. The center aisle. Thank you. Our service continues with the prayer of the church on pages 10 and 11 of this morning's service booklet. Before the last petition or paragraph of the prayer, we will include two special intercessions, one on behalf of the family and friends of Gary Reek, who is the brother of Gail Raglan. Gary passed away this past week from a massive stroke.
We will also pray for our member, Lorena Hernandez, who underwent gallbladder surgery last week. We join in the response of prayer beginning on page 10. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving and joy. In your great mercy, you sent your one and only Son to share our humanity and to unveil the mystery of your saving will from all eternity. Through your holy word and sacraments, give us faith to see the earnest work of your salvation in every word and deed of Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, you have redeemed us from our empty ways, not with gold or silver, but with your holy precious blood and your innocent suffering and death. All things were made by you, yet you humbled yourself and became our servant. In you shines the light of life, yet you became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Enlighten our darkened hearts and minds that we may ever marvel at your willingness to die for those who did not live for you. O Holy Spirit, giver of life, grant to your church strength of purpose in your holy service, that we may seek with willing hearts the building of your eternal kingdom. Put the song of salvation on our lips and clothe us with the garments of praise, that with joy we may declare, you wept, dear Jesus, over the city of Jerusalem when you desired to gather her children together as a hen gathers her chicks, but they were not willing. Give us tender and compassionate hearts, O Lord, for those who reject your word or do not know you. Lead us to be faithful and patient ambassadors of your saving work and loving care, and grant success to the preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins in your name. We pray for the family and friends of Gary Reek, whom you have taken to yourself in death. Be with them and comfort them in their sorrow with your sure promises of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We thank you for granting Lorena Hernandez recovery from her recent surgery. May she truly appreciate the great things you have done for her, and with health restored, faithfully serve you and others. Now, as we have received your mercy and seen your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, grant to us, O God, the comfort of your grace through him who died, but who rose again and evermore reigns as King in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
We are about to begin our celebration of the Lord's Supper this morning. The Bible tells us that when we receive the Lord's Supper, we are receiving Jesus' very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And the Bible also tells us that when we receive the Lord's Supper together, we are making a public statement that we are fully united in everything that the Bible teaches us. For this reason, we invite to the Lord's Supper those who have expressed that unity with us by membership here at St. Mark's or membership in one of our sister congregations in our church body, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. If you have not yet had the opportunity to find out fully what we believe and teach, but would like to join us for the Lord's Supper in the future, please speak with myself or Pastor Schmidt after today's service. We would be very delighted to speak with you and to begin the process of working toward a common confession of faith that you can join us for the Lord's Supper in the near future. We continue with the service of the sacrament on page 11. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil who overcame us by a tree would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O God Almighty, who through Jesus Christ, your eternal Word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all of your laws in our place and died the death we deserved because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Take the way.
worship concludes on page 15 in the service booklet. Please stand. Give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Seated. Good morning to all of you. It is a great privilege to worship with all of you as we start another Holy Week celebration. It's a great privilege to have so many guests worshiping with us today. If we can serve you in any way, if we can serve your soul here at St. Mark's in any way, please do not hesitate to contact myself or Pastor Schmidt. As I said earlier, we'd be delighted to work with you and to talk about the Christian faith and work toward a common confession of the Christian faith together. There's a number of announcements that I'd like to share with all of you. First of all, a reminder, again, page 19 of today's service booklet lists or gives a complete list of all the special services coming up for Holy Week. Two services on Monday, Thursday. They are identical services. Take your pick as to which one you attend. It will be the same at both. Then on Good Friday, two services. Good Friday is the one day a year when the main church service takes place in the afternoon.
commemorating those dark afternoon hours when our Lord hung on the cross for us. We will not only have that service, but then there's also probably the most popular service of Good Friday, and sometimes of the year, which is the Good Friday service of darkness, or the Tenebrae service, which is held at 7 o'clock in the evening on Good Friday. We invite you to join us for both of those. And then note three service times, two different services on Easter Sunday. The 7 o'clock service is a sunrise song service with Holy Communion. We'll go through several sections of the Easter story in Scripture, and we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper and sing a whole bunch of Easter hymns at the 7 o'clock service. And then the main festival services are at 9 and 10:45. Those are identical, so take your pick as to which one you'd like to attend. The choir will be involved in that. Lots of special music at that one as well. So we invite you to join us for all of the special services celebrating Holy Week and Easter. Also on Easter Sunday, you may have noticed the last several weeks, we've been talking a lot about the new member picture directory. It's been a while since a member picture directory has been taken, and we're embarking on that project now, and we spent the last 5 or 6 weeks taking member photos. There are not any weekly photo sessions planned anymore, but there are quarterly photo sessions planned, and conveniently, the next quarterly photo session planned is next Sunday, because you're all going to be decked out in your Easter best, and you'll all be here, and you'll be just in the perfect spot, in the perfect position to take a family photo for the picture directory. So after all of the services next week, one of our church members that's a photographer for this project will be up here in the front of church, and it will be first come, first serve. Come on up, have your family picture taken, and that picture will go into the directory. You can also give to us your email address and upload any picture, any nice picture of you that you'd like to. Because remember, people are going to see this. So you can either submit a photo next Sunday after the services by having one taken, or you can submit one by giving us your email address. And there's an email address in the announcements today that you can email Blake McPeak at the special address that's there, or you can ask him directly, and you can have that photo uploaded. But if it's not in basically by next week, your photo is not going to be in the new directory. We will keep taking photos every 3 months. We'll have a photo taking session if you want to update your photo, because remember, this is not just a print directory, this is an online directory, and it's going to be constantly updated, and whenever a new member comes in, we can print up a few copies for new members that is completely up to date. They won't get a four-year-old directory anymore. So that's why we're going to keep taking photos every quarter. But it's important, if you want your family photo in, you got to have that picture given to us by next Sunday, or taken here at church next Sunday. So please be aware of that. Couple announcements from the Board of Outreach. Now it's prime time. Good Friday and especially Easter. We get a lot of guests, especially on Easter Sunday. And this is the chance to share St. Mark's with your family, friends, neighbors, and relatives. The Board of Outreach has these Easter invitations prepared. We mailed out thousands of them to our community, and there are many extra copies, and they're no good after next Sunday. So grab them and hand them out. Sometimes I take my laptop and I work at Starbucks, and I accidentally leave a couple of these behind. Do whatever to get these out to our community, because these essentially expire on Sunday and they don't do us any good other than putting them in the recycle bin. So get them out to your friends and neighbors, whoever you might know might be interested in joining us for worship on Easter morning. Feel free to take as many of these as you'd like and share our Easter services with them. If you'd like to, you can get in touch with Pastor Schmidt or Board of Outreach Chairman Jason Covey about where to find these or how else you might use them over Easter. Finally, an announcement for, one other thing is that we have a new brochure that has been published by our Board of Outreach that's a nice full color, very attractive, informative brochure about St. Mark's, explaining a little bit about what it's like to come here at St. Mark's, what worship is like, what the congregation is like. Those brochures are on the back, and if you'd like to use these in any way to share our gospel message and to share our congregation with friends, again, feel free to help yourself with that and ask Pastor Schmidt or Jason Covey if you've got any questions at all about how you might use this in your personal witness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. One other less exciting announcement, unless it's exciting if you want to do yard work and want some free wood chips. As you exit the church that way today, you'll see a very ginormous pile of wood chips, which it turns out we don't need now. But I bet some of you might need it. No? Oh, it was not a giveaway. I am confused. I am so sorry. You don't get any wood chips. My bad. This is why it's always good to listen carefully when Pastor Schmidt tells you something.
so that you don't misconstrue what he says and tell 400 people or whatever that they have free wood chips. You don't get free wood chips unless you can stuff some in your pockets, but we do need people to help spread them around this property. That was quite a faux pas, Pastor Stray. And if you're able to help with that, again, please contact Pastor Schmidt, since he's the pastor who kind of keeps in touch with the Building and Grounds Committee. Those are the announcements for the week. I trust I have not missed anything else. And I didn't mess up anything else. We don't know. We'll find out. I did say 7, 9, and 10:45 on Easter, right? I didn't tell you 6 a.m. or anything like that. Good. All right. God's blessings to you this week. We hope to see you back on Sunday. And we hope to have you join us for Bible class. But those of you in my Bible, coming to my Bible class, or if you're just here for one Sunday and you'd like to come to a class, I said last week my class might be in the chapel. It's going to be in the usual spot in the gym today, a different corner. But we're going to have a different session today, talking about what I alluded to in the sermon, a little bit of defending the facts of Jesus' resurrection. So if you're just here today and your kids are singing in both services and you're looking to where's the best spot to spend the hour, I may be a little biased, but you're welcome to join me in my Bible class, because we're kind of having a one-session class today. So it might be a good class to sit in on. Thanks. Those are the announcements. Please greet each other before you're dismissed, and have a great week.